Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat number 7. This is kind of a...
Lucky 7.
Kind of a two-part thing here. We just posted podcast number 9, just to confuse you, talking about cell phones and software. And we have great interviews with both Torsten Brand for Talks, talking about the new version 4.0 and their migration over into the Windows mobile platform, as well as we spoke with Code Factory, talking about some of their new stuff, including their mobile Geo 1.5 and Daisy Player and all that good stuff. You can listen to that at serotalk.com. Tonight, I'm going to sit back, let Mike Calvo talk for once. Well, that'll be a little challenge for him, but we'll let him MC the show this evening and share some of his new findings as he's started in Symbian, went to Windows Mobile, and has come back to Symbian, playing around with the N82. He's going to tell us about an interesting development he found out this afternoon with his camera. But we'll let Mike talk about cell plans and negotiating with providers and all kinds of good stuff he's got on his mind. What's up, Mikey?
Not much, man. It's a real challenge for me to talk and really speak my mind. I mean, I'm usually very subdued and laid back and quiet, so I'm really out of my league tonight. I'm really trying, and it's very difficult for me. So bear with me as I try and stumble through getting my points and ideas across. And if you believe that, anyway, welcome to everybody tonight. And I am just excited about all the wonderful things that have been happening for us as blind folks with the advent and the innovation that's been going on the mobile platforms. I mean, right now, a blind person can be a mobile professional, and truly a mobile professional. I'm not talking about carrying around this big book bag or backpack full of stuff. I've seen some blind folks at conventions and whatnot with these big, huge backpacks full of technology, and if they run into you in an elevator, you better watch it, man. Or if you get in front of one and they're running along with their cane in their hand, forget it, dude. They're going to squash you. That is gone because we've got access to small devices that the mainstream uses, but that happen to have been modified for very inexpensive pricing, I may add, in most cases. We're going to talk about a couple of relatively expensive devices tonight as well. But the whole idea is that we do have choices. And if you want to go the expensive route, you can. And if you want to kind of hack some stuff together, you can do that. As Michael stated at the beginning, when I first got my first talking cell phone, it was a Nokia 9290 communicator. And this was this big phone that had a QWERTY keyboard on it. It was way back early on I believe it was like 2000 or 2001. And it was a great product for me because I was able to, for the first time, do a lot of the things I needed to do for business portably and use a product like Talks. And we interviewed Torsten and we got to talk about how far that product has come along and how I ended up having to leave that platform because, of course, as anybody that's used technology or started out with technology goes, you know, you use it at first and then you want to go more. You know, you want more out of it. And in this particular case, I needed more mobile broadband, or I felt that I needed more mobile broadband, and it was available on the Sprint network. So I put away my Nokia. At that point, I'd moved on to a 6600, and I put that away, and I got myself into a Motorola Q. Actually, I got myself into a PPC 6600 at the time, which was a pocket PC phone with a touchscreen, and I was using this great product called MobileSpeak Pocket. MobileSpeak Pocket is still available for the newer generations of these Windows mobile phones, things like the Mogul and other products that are available that are made by companies like HTC, which still require a person to use a stylus or a QWERTY keyboard. They're very small. They fit in your pocket. And they just have all kinds of computing power in them. They are really small computers. You can run mobile versions of your favorite Windows applications, Windows, Word and PowerPoint and Excel and all these different, and Outlook, all of these different applications, and by paying, you know, $15-$20 onto your regular phone plan, you can have access even to streaming audio and all this kind of stuff that before was only available either on the computer. And even when you got into things like the PacMate, I mean, I'll never forget when I had my first, when I had a PacMate, I was telling people that this is my pocket PC, and the PacMate's about the size of, a keyboard. So people are like, man, you got to have a big pocket for that. But it was innovative for its time. I believe that the time of products like the Braille Note Takers, the Braille Notes, the Braille Sense, all these, even though they continue to try and reinvent themselves, I really believe that those products are passe and they're done. I mean, paying $6,000 for a mobile device or $5,000 for a mobile device, even if it has Braille, is just ridiculous to me, considering the fact that you can buy a portable Braille display, you can buy a mobile computer, a notebook or a netbook for a lot less than $6,000 these days, and it's all modular, and you can take the parts that you want and leave the parts that you don't need at home. So I really believe that those mobile devices have kind of gone by the wayside. So then I moved on, and I spent a couple of years with the folks at Code Factory, who have developed what I consider to be the best Windows mobile screen reader on the market. There are others that are up and coming, and we'll see how they do. There have been others that have tried to do what MobileSpeak has done and failed. What Code Factory's done and failed. But I believe that when the books are written, Code Factory has really set its stake in the ground as the best Windows mobile product for both Windows Mobile and Windows Mobile smartphone that has been developed to date of this tech talk. Now there are some other things going forward, so it's very cool. These prices on these screen readers tend to range between $200 to $300. They're not real expensive as far as screen readers go. I know that Code Factory just cut a deal with AT&T where you can get your AT for free. Tox did that a few years ago, that was a very interesting situation because AT&T neglected to tell us exactly the terms of the agreement. But hey, it was the first time that AT was actually available through the mainstream, and it was very cool. So for me, what happened? Why did I leave the Windows mobile platform? Quite frankly, there's really no reason. My time with Sprint was up. I wanted to get into more of a candy bar shaped phone. I didn't want the QWERTY keyboard anymore, which my Motorola Q had. It was no problem with MobileSpeak. I wasn't lacking for anything. I just felt, you know, I miss my old Symbian stuff. There's broadband available on the Symbian platform, and it's kind of like what I started with. So I went back and I got myself a Nokia N82. I got that from the folks over at Handytech North America. They sell actually turnkey packages where you can buy a phone with any screen reader of choice, and they sell the MobileSpeak stuff. They sell the Tox, and they sell, they can sell you a Braille display. They can sell you the KNFB reader, and which I'll talk a little bit about in a little bit. They can sell you a lot of things. And the thing I like the most about the folks over at Handytech North America is the fact that the owner of that company and a majority of the people involved in that company, much like Serotech, are blind people. So they know, as well as we do, what blind people need, because not only we're the Hair Club presidents, but we're also members, you know. But not only are we of course, advocates of this stuff, but we also have to use this stuff on a day-to-day basis. It's really kind of, we build our own houses as we go. So we want to make sure that those houses are as well built as possible. And, of course, we would never do unto others as we wouldn't want done unto ourselves. And I really believe, after spending many hours talking with Earl and Kelly and others at Handytech US, Handytech North America, I really believe that they're a wonderful company to do business with. They are a Serotech reseller. So when I got my phone, it was the first thing that I moved over to the T-Mobile, which I had been on T-Mobile before I went to Sprint, and I just decided to go back. And the thing I like about GSM phones, of course, is the fact that you can use these cards, the little SIM cards. If your phone is unlocked, which after about 3 months here in the U.S. now, a company has to unlock it for you. as a part of my deal, when I got my T-Mobile phone, they actually gave me a Windows mobile phone. It was the Shadow, the new Shadow. And that's a really killer looking little Windows mobile phone. Again, Windows mobile smartphone edition, which perfectly worked with mobile speak, and it was version 6.1 of Windows Mobile, smartphone edition, and it worked really well. It's a cute little phone, but what I wanted was my N82 because it had some of the applications that I wanted. And the N82, the thing I like the most about it is that it does not look like a slick phone. It is just a regular candy bar phone that has a 5-megapixel camera. It has Wi-Fi. It has every kind of wireless connectivity you would ever want. Plus, in mine, I have a 16 gig high capacity micro SD card, which is a very small SD card. And I even have the thing downloading podcasts. I pay $99 a month for my unlimited voice. I have $25 that I pay for internet, which I get on the device. And the way I connect to a laptop is very cool. There is a piece of software that I use that's called Joiku Hotspot. And there is another one called Walking Hotspot, which does about the same thing. They're both about $30. And what they do is they take your Wi-Fi connection on the phone, because, of course, if you're near a Wi-Fi connection in your house or whatever, you can connect and use that broadband instead of the one that's provided by your provider. However, the thing that's neat about that is it works the other way around as well, where you can take something like Joiku, or you could take something like Walking Hotspot, put it in your phone, and actually have your phone become a wireless access point or router. So now all you do is turn on a netbook, look for your phone with your regular 802.11b or G connection, and you just log right on. Make sure, though, and this is a mistake I found the other day at the airport. I just kind of had my phone on and whatever, and I connected to it, and I hadn't had the WEP encryption on. So I was happily surfing the internet and this and that. And I went to go shut down Joiku, and I realized that there were about 15 other people connected to my phone, and my phone was warm because all these people had found my hotspot. And they, and since it was unsecured, as it comes out of the package, they had all logged on and decided that they were going to check their email and do all everything that they needed to do too. So I was happy to be a public Wi-Fi hotspot that day. But if you're on a data plan where you have a limited amount of bandwidth, you don't want to do that. So this is, again, some of these things sound very complicated, but they are not. It really is very simple to hook up. And the cool thing is, of course, many people on the System Access Mobile Network, on SAMNet, are doing this kind of stuff too, and you can actually get people to help you out and configure all of these different kinds of things that you can do with your device. Another thing I like to do is listen to a lot of music. I like Pandora, I like Last.fm, and the reason I like these two particular services are because you can go in and you can put in an artist, and you can say, well, I want to hear music by that artist and other artists that sound like that artist. Or you can put in a genre, or you can put in Last.fm, for example, you can put in a tag like kids or pop or groovy or mellow or chillin' or funky or trippy or whatever you want. And it will actually create a list of songs for you to hear that people have tagged with that particular thing. Now, Pandora works on the iPhone. Unfortunately, it does not work on the Symbian operating system. However, Last.fm does provide a product called the Mobler. And the Mobler does allow you to have a great deal of control over your Last.fm account, and that's at www.last.fm. I don't believe that they have the Symbian version there. You're going to have to Google for it. But it is, just type in last.fm for Nokia N82, and you'll find it. There's also a great resource that I found that Earl and others have turned me on to that's called blindsea.com. That's www.blindsea.com. And BlindSea is kind of like everything mobile for Blinks. It's awesome. And there's a section up there that actually has all the cool things you can do with the Nokia N82 and different software packages you can run and tips and tricks. And there's a community up there and there's a forum. It really is a great jumping off point for where to get what if you're blind and you want your phone to really be blinged out. And the whole idea behind these smartphones, people, is to make it into your kind of Swiss Army knife of cell phones. These phones, this particular one has a 5-megapixel camera and it has video capture. I do a lot on Facebook and a lot on Twitter, and I actually can record videos or record pictures, you know, take pictures and just upload them right from the phone right onto these social network pages. So it's very cool to have this kind of power in my pocket. One of the things that I have found is that having these things available, a camera, a GPS receiver in the phone as a blind person really opens up a lot of doors. And that kind of brings me into talking about some of the applications that are available. Now, going back for a second to the Windows Mobile platform, there is a program called Mobile Geo that was just put out by Code Factory. It is a very well done mobile GPS product. They did it with Sendero. I do not agree with the price of this product. Then again, in Code Factory and Sendero's protection or defense, I don't agree with any product that is, you know, almost $1,000 that would run on a mobile device or otherwise that blind people have to pay for, because I believe that, you know, it really limits the ability for a blind person to use these products. And really, knowing the hearts of these companies and their innovative people, I mean, I understand it costs money to make software. If we were to lower the cost of this software, I really believe that a lot more people would have it and it would give a lot more people an opportunity to get into it. That's enough for me to gripe about Mobile Geo, though. I have used the Mobile Geo product. They just released version 1.5, which has some very cool features like being able to control it by voice through voice command. It is neat. It is not available for the N82. On the N82, we have the choice of a product called Wayfinder. And Wayfinder is a very inexpensive, relatively speaking, compared to Mobile Geo, service that you can use, and it does require data connection. And it works very well with both mobile speak and talks. And they've gone to great lengths at Wayfinder to make the product work. And it is a GPS that uses the GPS in your phone to allow you to get around. The folks at HandyTech have put together, and they're also resellers of that product, but they have put together a couple of demonstrations of Wayfinder and how you can use it and how it sounds and all that kind of stuff. And you can also get a trial of Wayfinder. It is a great product. I suggest you try it if you're on the N82. Unfortunately, Windows Mobile, it's not available for you. Pretty much Mobile Geo is all you've got. It's a great product, the Mobile Geo. We've been there and done that. So that is one of the very cool things that I have found that works well on the Nokia N82. The other one that has caused great controversy at Cerotech and with me and some of our very high-tech employees at Cerotech has been the KNFB reader. The KNFB reader, I will tell you, when I first saw the KNFB reader a couple years back, it was $3,500, and it was this big device that I remember I went to go eat a dinner with someone at a conference, and he whips out his $3,500 KNFB reader and proceeds to try and read the menu. And it was just so troublesome that the server finally came over and said, "Let me read that for you." And that's kind of the way I've looked at these devices. However, after talking to a lot of people that own the product, Michael Loff owns it, Brian owns it, our phone guy owns it, other people that I know own it, Earl, of course, sells it and owns it. And I said, you know, all these people can't be crazy, and I got to try it. So earlier this week, and I'm telling you because I've only had the product for like 5 days, I finally took the jump, and it was $995. That is a lot of money for a piece of adaptive technology, for any technology. And it's a decision that you really need to think about and see if it's something that you want. And really, what got me thinking about it was the fact that I travel a lot for what I do. I run into places where I find a lot of printed material that I need access to. I also run into situations where I might have to read a sign, or I might have to read, you know, the sign on a door or a directory in a building, or a bus sign, or a train schedule, whatever it is. And with this device, there's a lot to be said for having a scanning solution in your pocket that you can take out, aim at whatever it is you're looking to read, push a button, and it will read it to you within a matter of a couple of seconds. The interesting thing that their latest version does as well is that if it's in another language and you've got that language loaded onto your device and you've got an internet connection on your device, I know it's a lot of ifs, but most of us do, then the KNFB reader will actually translate it into your native language or your default language. So if your default language is English and you go somewhere and their signs are in Japanese, or their sign, Japanese is probably not a good example, in German or in French or in Italian, you can just aim your phone at that sign, push a button, hit translate, and it will read it in English. So that is nothing short of amazing to me. That's the one thing. Today, just for laughs and giggles, I called Michael when I did it, and I said, dude, this just brought it up about 1,000% for me on the coolometer. I decided that I was going to point my camera, my phone, at my screen and read it and just see what it did. Now, understand that the manuals say that it shouldn't or it can't do this. And so I don't know if it was purposefully made that way, but I would imagine that if you said it could, then a bunch of us gripey blind people would say, well, I pushed it and pointed at this and pointed at that and it didn't work. So it's probably better for them to say it didn't, but it read my screen. As a computer person, just as a hobbyist, as a user of a computer, as a technician at times in my life, if I would have had this device in my pocket and I would have had a screen come up and there was no speech and I could just point it at the screen and know what it's saying, that would have saved me a lot of time, trouble, and aggravation. Even if it's just closure, knowing, okay, my hard disk is hosed, so I need to wait for somebody to get here so they can help me, you know, do this or that. Whatever. But the ability to point this camera at things and read it. My mail. I get mail now. Before, my wife used to, you know, go over it or whatever. Now, if I'm not happy with the speed, I am a very high-pressure person sometimes. It's like, honey, what came in the mail? I'll get to it in a minute. I got to do this with the kids. What came in the mail? You know, I'm busy. I'll do it later. You know, finally, I could just walk out there and, you know, yeah, I could bring it in here into the office and throw it on the scanner and all that stuff, but it's so much quicker to just go out there, point the camera at it, shoot a picture, and within a couple of seconds, have the mail read. Now, is it worth $1,000 or $995? I don't know. I'm not there yet. But I will tell you that the more I live with it, the more I understand its uses for somebody. I'm blessed to have a beautiful wife with wonderful 20/20 vision, and she helps me out with a lot of things. But for those of us who don't have a spouse with 20/20 vision or sighted assistance around us at all the time, this thing could really be a godsend. And $1,000 is just the tip of the iceberg of the value for them. So again, you know, the part of me that wants to lower the cost of AT gripes and complains. But the reality is, hey, it started at $3,500 a couple years ago, and it was pretty nasty back then. People invested in the product. They bettered the product. They took the money. They reinvested it. And the Kurzweil and NFB people have really come up with a winner. I would strongly suggest that you look at getting this product for yourself if you can. It really is worth at least looking into, getting in touch. They have on KNFBReader.com. They have a whole list of dealers all over the country, and I'm sure that they are all very well trained, because every time I've ever spoken to any KNFB reseller, They have been very informed about their product. I particularly am partial to Earl and his crew over there because I love the way they do business. But there are other great resellers, I'm sure, that you can go to purchase your product. Other stuff I've put on my phone, I've put applications that when certain words come up in my calendar, church or meeting or Bible study or whatever, it puts my phone on silent and it sends calls to voicemail automatically. I've got alarm clock in my phone. I've used the Podcatcher for podcasts. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of podcasts available that Nokia has compiled directories of, and you can just set your phone to get them. And I've been using for a long time, and I still do to a certain degree, my iPod Nano to get podcasts through iTunes. But what I found with iTunes is that iTunes doesn't always grab podcasts on time. And that's not a Blink thing. That's just an iTunes thing. For some reason, sometimes it takes iTunes a little while to update. On the other hand, my phone with its internet connection and its always on internet connection is just sitting here and waiting for podcasts to come in. So I always have the latest podcasts right away and they're all available to me right wherever I am. So that is a very cool thing as well that I like about the N82. Moving my number over was a breeze. I went, to a company called letstalk.com. It's letstalk.com. Remember I told you I got a free phone with my T-Mobile subscription? What happens is with if you go to T-Mobile for the Shadow, they will, I believe, charge you $149 at the point of purchase, and then you can get certain amounts of that money back. I think you get $100 back or something like that. You end up spending like $50 out of pocket or something for the Shadow. On the other hand, when you go to letstalk.com, I actually made money on the deal. They gave me the phone for free. I signed the contract and then they gave me a $50 mail-in rebate. And they were very nice. The process, you could do it totally online, or they have very nice people who are very well informed about the phones that they have available. And you can go up there and call them and they will walk you through and tell you exactly how you can port your phone number, from your current carrier to another carrier. Very important thing to know when you're moving your phone number over. Do not disconnect that phone number from your previous carrier. If you're on Sprint or AT&T or whatever and you want to move over to another carrier, do not disconnect your current number until you are sure that it has been moved over to the new carrier. They tell you, oh yeah, and your old carrier will know, so you don't need to worry about it. Don't buy that either. Make sure you get over there and you tell them, you know, I've already moved my number out. I need to terminate service. If you've got some reconciling to do with them of, you know, fees or what have you, then you need to do that. But do not, under any circumstances, shut your phone down, your current carrier down, until your number has been ported. And usually it takes, you know, anywhere from 24 hours to 3 or 4 days. So it is a bit of a process and you are kind of in a no man's land there. But it's the good news is you don't have to do it very often unless you're into changing phone carriers every couple of months, which I am not. The one negative thing I can say about Sprint is that their customer service, it left a little bit to be desired. At first, it was done. They used to use a lot of overseas customer service that was not very well trained. The huge amounts of time that you're on hold, and now they've got less time. But because they've tried to bring in so many new people for customer service here in the States, they have not spent a lot of time, it seems, training many people or some people. There are pockets of great people, and there are pockets of okay customer service outside of that. The Sprint service, I traveled all over the country with it. It has worked very well. I still have a Sprint Air card that we use for conferences, and it seems to work very well, and I believe we're going to go ahead and keep that. So, you know, I am still a very happy Sprint customer. I have not had any experiences with Verizon. Unfortunately, I've heard mixed reviews. My belief in both Verizon and AT&T is that they nickel and dime you to death. So make sure you read the contracts, make sure you read the agreements, because with both of those companies, the devil is definitely in the details. So that has been my experiences thus far with the N82. I still have not found anything that I can listen to streaming radio with. I know Michael told me that Mandu Radio may be accessible. That it doesn't work real well with the N82. And outside of that, I have not found anything that works to be able to listen to Shoutcast radio stations, which I like quite a bit. MP3s, of course, play really well. The other thing that I love, by the way, before I stop talking about the N82, is its audio fidelity. The fact that I can plug it into my Bose sound dock that I use for my iPod, I can plug it into the car, I can even plug it into the sound system at the house, and it sounds great, is just really, really, really important. If I want to see a video, I can actually plug in a cable and plug it into my television and show my pictures, show videos to my family and friends. So this device is very cool. There's an N85 and an N86 that are out. They're different types of phones. I've never put my hands on one, but they seem to be a little more complicated than the N82. The N82's been out for a couple of years. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's good old trusty rusty. It works well. It's not cheap, but it truly does do the trick. So that has kind of been my experiences. I hope I haven't bored you too much, and I hope I've given you some information. I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for questions here for a minute. So go ahead and say your name and then release. Let a couple of people say their names, and then we'll take them three at a time, and then I'll call on you back, and we can ask questions.
My name is Kenny Norton.
Okay, Kenny. Anyone else?
Paul Martin.
Okay, great. We'll hold your questions for a minute. Okay, Kenny, go ahead. What's your question, buddy?
I guess you're with T-Mobile. Have you heard that they're going to market a new plan, $50 a month for unlimited? They're supposed to be testing it in San Francisco.
I have not heard that. That would be very cool. That would actually be a first for them. I know that they're doing the $99 plan right now, which is the one I'm on. I'm sure that that those of us that are on it would get grandfathered in. And I've just found that T-Mobile's got some of the best customer service I've ever seen. People there actually sound happy when you call. That's pretty amazing.
It's Mike in St. Louis. That $50 plan is now available nationwide. I think you have to have been with them a certain amount of time to get it, though, but you might call and check because they have expanded that nationwide. And I've also got T-Mobile, and I will vouch for the customer service. They're great. I mean, they're for the cell phone industry, you cannot get a better customer service. I remember when I was having trouble getting my email to work, well, because of my cable provider, they wouldn't of course, you can't use their SMTP server if you're not directly connected to them. And the person at first didn't know, you know, what SMTP server I had to use. But the person, I was on the phone with him for probably like an hour and a half, you know, trying to figure it out. And then we finally got it working, and they were just great. Their customer service is superb. But they have expanded that plan nationwide. So anybody that's on T-Mobile, give them a call and see if you can get it.
Well, I'm going to call them tonight. Paul, what's your question, buddy?
Well, the first one actually is on more of a technical standpoint. Now, about a year ago, I had an experience with a Nokia N75. And the big thing I'm afraid of in terms of going back to the Symbian platform is the fact that the audio chips in there seem to be single-channeled. And for those who don't know, that pretty much was like where only mobile speak or an MP3 can be playing at any given time. Is that still true with the N82, or is that?
No, actually, it's not. I would tell you, actually, with the latest version of Talx, it's even gotten better because you can unmute the voice while you're on a call. And in Symbian, you can do very cool things that you can't do through CDMA, like conference. But I'm not talking about like a three-way conference. You can bring 4, 5, 6 people in on a Symbian conference and all have them tied together, and you can use Talx to do that. You can continue to look through your phone. If you have a Braille display as well, you can, of course, do that. But no, I found that voice and especially even when I'm listening to music or when I'm listening to a podcast or when I'm listening to the Mobler from Last FM, voice comes in pretty clear. So I don't know if that was a limitation of the N75 or of mobile speak at the time, but I've not experienced any of that with the N82.
Some phones, it has to do with the key tones or touch tones. So by turning those off, disabling that can help.
The other thing, too, the Nokia I've got, which is another candy bar one. I don't know how this compares to the N82, but it's the 6120 Classic. And it definitely does multi-channel, because what I will do, and Mike, if you're using Wayfinder Access, here's a little tidbit for you. You can, when I'm on a pedestrian route, of course, by default, what it does is it mutes the female voice, you know, that says turn left, turn right here, and your screen reader takes it. But in order to read that, you've got to stay in the guide view. So what I usually do then is I will overwrite that, go into the settings, and turn the Wayfinder female voice back on, and then go to like the all nearby view or something like that. And that way the screen reader takes the takes reading out what's ahead of you and that kind of stuff, and the female voice then gives you the turns, and you get the best of both worlds, and it's able to play them both at the same time.
Great. For the sake of time, Paul, what was your next question?
I currently have Mobile Speak for Windows Mobile, and DeckTalk isn't the best thing to have to hear all the time, and AT&T is my carrier. It's listed as one of the distributors. Would I be able to get the voices through them?
I do not know. I know that you can check back with your Mobile Speak reseller. I hate to say that, but I don't know. I've never been an AT&T customer. Are you using a Windows Mobile phone, I would assume?
Oh, yeah. They got me the screen reader for a pretty good deal, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's other voices that are available for that phone that you can get from the Mobile Speak folks. You've got, you know, several different folks that you can put on there from, I forget their names, but there's other more human-sounding voices. Now, they do get a little taxing on the processor on the phone, but they're certainly available, and you can definitely talk to your – they're not expensive either. So, is that it, Paul?
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Okay, Jamal, what was your question, buddy?
On the T-Mobile service, I would say with mobile broadband, whatever they call their network, that pretty good service and not open.
Okay, he was very quiet. The phone, the voice, what he was asking was how is the quality of the mobile broadband and the phone quality. I have found that both the speed and the quality of the voice are actually very good. I live in Orlando. I've been several places now and back when I was a T-Mobile customer early on, and they actually have had pretty good coverage. I know that New Yorkers were a little frustrated because Verizon has coverage in the subways and things like that, and of course T-Mobile didn't. But for most of the places where I traveled, I never had dead spots. Even when I wasn't on their network, they have roaming agreements with AT&T and Singular at the time. So, you know, T-Mobile tended to have a very good footprint when I traveled internationally. I could just pick up a local SIM card, plug it into the phone, and have access for local rates. And that's the big thing that I like, is the ability to have an unlocked phone that I can plug any SIM card into and have access. And that's another big thing about talks, is that you can actually take your SIM card and use that as part of your licensing scheme. And if you have, say, five different phones, you can use one copy of talks on each phone and then use the same license on the SIM card. And as you move the SIM card from phone to phone to phone, it'll be right there. Very similar to the user-centered, I think it's called user-centric, user-centric licensing that MobileSpeak uses. A little bit of a different twist on it, but it ends up being the same thing where you can move your license around. The one thing that I wish both companies would do, because Talks is also coming out with a mobile version, I wish they would allow you to move from one platform to the other and share your licenses there, but that's just the consumer in me. I mean, you know, neither one of the products are that expensive to where if you have enough money to buy a bunch of different phones, and you probably have enough money to buy another copy of the darn screen reader. Any more questions? Let's take another three. First one.
Kenny Norton.
Okay, Kenny.
George Zeynon from Sweden.
George, nice to see you. Next. Okay, well, Kenny, go ahead. Ask your question.
Have you heard of, there's two new phones. One's already come out, one's going to come out. First phone is made by Samsung. It's the Memoir. It has an 8-megapixel camera. Also, Sony Ericsson is going to come out with a phone, and it's a 12-megapixel now. The unfortunate thing to both these phones is they're both touch screens. So I don't know what they're going to do for access for us, but you know, they're coming up with better, higher technology. Actually, T-Mobile has got the 8-megapixel Memoir. I don't know who's going to get the other.
The Memoir is actually the phone that I have on order for my wife, and that is a proprietary Samsung operating system that we will probably not see any accessibility in. It's a closed-in system. The only kind of applications you can actually add to that are Java applications. It doesn't even support Brew. So it's kind of closed in, even for the sighted folks that own it. But it tends to be everything that a sighted person would want, I guess. So, you know, I mean, listen, we've come a long way. I mean, we still have work to do as far as getting access to other platforms like the Android. Of course, I know TD over at Google is working on a lot of things, trying to get that platform talking, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. We're hoping that our friends at Apple will finally make the iPhone in some way, shape, or form accessible. Of course, we've got the new Palm Web OS coming. So there are a few things, but the fact that we have access to Windows Mobile and Symbian is pretty exciting to me at this point in the game. And I don't know what the Ericsson phone is. Ericsson does some products in Symbian, some products in Windows Mobile, and some in Linux, in embedded Linux. So I don't know what the 12 megapixel camera phone is going to bring, but I'll tell you, you know, I'm sure that that we'll get our share too. Nokia is a pretty innovative company, and they are still without a doubt the number one phone company in the world that sells the most phones out of anybody. No doubt about it. George?
Yeah, I'm glad to tell, first of all, that my wife bought system access, so now we both have system access. And now I will go over to the question. It's going to be a kind of a technical question about the N82. My brother visited me here in Sweden, and he came from Lebanon with his N82 with Tox installed. He had a demo, a two-month demo, I think. I don't know. Anyway, he installed it on the memory card eventually, and he should have, if I understand the matter right, installed it on the telephone memory itself. But when he was receiving calls, it was not ringing unless we muted talks. And now he is telling that it is ringing only after talks demo, the 10 minutes demo is finishing. So the question is, should he upgrade the firmware? Should he, to begin with, install talks on the telephone memory itself or on the memory card?
Okay, great question. I don't believe that it has anything to do with if Tox is installed on the memory card or in the memory of the phone. I install whatever I can on the memory of the phone just because I'm superstitious and I believe that it works faster. Of course, the KNFB reader, it's a humongous program, so it has to go on the memory card. And you pay a price for that because it starts up kind of sluggish. But once it gets rolling, I guess it goes into RAM and it works okay. It works pretty well. So, but as far as Tox goes, yeah, I would upgrade the firmware on that. Right now, especially right there in Sweden, land of Nokia, you can get, the latest firmware, which I think internationally is 31 something. We get 30 dot something here in the States, and that is the latest one that they're recommending that everybody get. I think that you'll find with the latest Tox version 4 that everything will work well with it. I don't have any problems with that. Oh, you know, and I forgot to mention, by the way, before, also Orator is a product that's going to be put out by Code Factory and Humanware for the BlackBerry later this year. It's going to be available for demonstration at CSUN, and Michael's going to be interviewing them and all that stuff, and we talked about that a little bit on the podcast today. So, you know, we've got a lot of these platforms covered.
I have N91 and yes, it's N91, 80 GB, and I am using it with Braille display. It's the Braille Connect 12, but from the beginning I wanted to use it with Braille Eno, and it does not communicate with it. The Bluetooth connection seems to drop, or for some kind of reason, Right. Or I don't know actually what is happening.
I hear whispers through the grapevine that there is a Brailleno driver coming for the N82 or for the Nokia phones for talks. I actually have a Brailleno and I have a Kinect 12. I didn't know that the Kinect 12 actually works. I'm going to go try that. It is a big world out there. There are dozens and dozens of cell phones, and of course there's tens of languages that these things are supporting. So to get everything to work perfectly in every language and on every platform is a challenge for any company, and especially for these companies that are trying to keep the prices of their technology down too. I mean, we as a community, we need to be a little patient and understand that we can't have our cake and eat it too all the time. It's a matter of, you know, they have a certain amount of money for resources and they want to keep the price down and keep the technology up, and It does get a little confusing. I can totally see both sides of it, yours and theirs, and all we can say is as consumers is we got to give a little and get a little, and you know, it eventually works itself out. Do we have any other questions? Well, thank you very much, everyone, and I hope we've been informative tonight. I thank everybody for coming out, and thanks for all your comments and all your criticism, constructive of and comments and all that. And I do hope that you tell folks about these tech chats. They are archived. They are available at serotalk.com. That's www.serotalk.com, S-E-R-O-T-A-L-K. If you're hearing a recording of this from somewhere, my name is Mike Calvo. I'm from Serotech Corporation. You can read about our products at www.serotech, S-E-R-O-T-E-K.com. In the U.S., you can call us at 866-202-0520. Internationally, please feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call in the States at 612-246-4818. And again, we invite you to continue to visit with us every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we are going to have another Tech Talk. See you next week.